All right, Leviticus. We're going to go back to Leviticus chapter 14. I just kind of wait on the Lord about these things, and it's amazing. You know, I'll try to study, and it just won't gel. It just won't. And then just all of a sudden, it just does. And you know, when you're building something, whether it's out of metal or wood or whatever you're doing, or if you're building a house and you're laying out the joists, say, on the floor, you go from one point. You don't measure 16 inches and then move your tape and measure another 16 inches and then move your tape and measure another 16 inches. What's going to happen when you do that? You're going to be so messed up by the time you get it halfway across there that you ain't going to be nowhere near where you're supposed to be. And a lot of people think that you shouldn't even look at the Old Testament, shouldn't even worry about the law, because that's all done away with and that's the gone thing. Don't worry about it. Just read the New Testament and learn about Jesus. No, you're going to be off. You're going to be out of whack. You need to know it all. You need to know the old and the new. And, you know, you go back to this where God first gave the law. And the law of the leper, he's a sinner. That's what he's talking about. Leprosy speaks of sin. The leper speaks of the sinner. The cleansing of the sinner. The healing of the sinner. And so, you know, it just clears it all up. You know, I sat there and listened to that song I just sang. In light of what I've been studying and thinking about all afternoon. And it just looks all different. When you look at the cross in the light of all of this, it just comes to life for you. It just goes from black and white to color. And so we need to understand these things. Leviticus 14, I don't think what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the first verse or two here, and then we're just going to get into it, because I'm going to read some verses as we go through little by little. And so it'll fit together better. But Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. I'm going to stop right there. If the plague of the leprosy be healed. All right. Lord, help us. I pray you bless your word. May it have free course. May it be heard. May it be understood. Help me to make it clear as I can. And Lord, that takes your help and the Spirit of God to make that happen. So Lord, I pray for your help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now all this chapter is not dealing with the healing of the leper. It's not dealing with the cure of the leper. It's dealing with the cleanse of the leper who's been cured, who's been healed. Now get that right out of the gate. All this from verse 2 after verse 2, it's dealing with the cleansing of the leper, not his cure. He's healed. The priest sees that he's healed. It's a done deal. He's already healed. God did it. Man didn't do it. Man has no cure for leprosy. Never did. Man has no cure for sin. There ain't no medicine. There's no antidote. There's no surgery. There's no cure. There's no way for man to do anything about it. That fits, don't it? Ain't that the gospel you know about? We don't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do. In fact, we're lost and hopeless. Unless God does something for us. Now, there's no cure for leprosy outside of God's divine intervention. Now, neither the priest nor any other person had any power to cure the disease. They just said, he's got leprosy. Out you go. Out. Get away from us. Put him out. He's poison. He's deadly. If he breathes on you, it'll get on you. That's kind of how it works, too. Yes, sir. Say, what in the world are you talking about? We don't do people like that. Oh, yes, you most certainly do. You wouldn't let no dope fiend live in your house and be around your kids, would you? You wouldn't move a whoremonger into your house with you and your wife and your teenage daughters, would you? If that's what he does it every day. You know he does it. It's all over him. That's all he thinks about. That's all that's in his mind. You're going to let him live in your house? No, you won't. Why? Because he's dangerous. He's going to hurt your loved ones. So you get rid of him. You put him away from you. You separate yourself from that mess. It's a type of sin. That's how sin is. That's exactly right. So neither the priest nor any other person had any power to cure the disease. Nobody had any cure for it. They had no way to deal with it but to put the leper away from them. Only the priest had the authority to declare the leper free of the disease. Nobody could say, well, I think his leper's cured. Not even the leper. The leper's word meant nothing about whether he had leprosy or not. He could cover himself up and paint over the top of it or grow his hair out long and say, I ain't got leprosy. I don't have leprosy. Didn't mean a thing. He could say, I'm cured. I've turned over a new leaf. I'm not going to do that stuff anymore. Did that make him cured? No, sir, it did not. Didn't matter what the leper said. That had no authority whatsoever. Had no bearing on anything. Nobody took his word to mean anything. Now, all you need is your verbal testimony and nobody can question you, your salvation. If you say you're saved, nobody can say you're not. You see, if you go back to the beginning point and measure from there, you see, you wouldn't be so far off. If you knew the law of God from the beginning. Not the leper himself, not public opinion about him, not his loved ones or family. They didn't have no say in whether he was clean or not. It was the priest alone who could say he's clean. The priest alone who could say he's healed. He's not got leprosy anymore. The leprosy's gone out of this man. The priest. Now who did the priest represent? Yes, sir. God. Yeah. And if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. Yes, sir. The priest had instructions from the Word of God about how to know if the leprosy had ceased in the leper. So here's what the priest did. He said, Son, have you believed in your heart? Do you really believe in your heart in God and in truth? Is that the way he did it? Did the priest examine what was in his heart? No, he looked at his flesh. How about that? That old dirty, rotten, stinking, sinful flesh. That was the indicator whether he was free from sin or not. Free from leprosy. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. All the indicators that the leprosy had been cured were visible in his body. That's right. Swallow that down real good. Yep. It wasn't what he said, wasn't what other people said, wasn't what his family said, wasn't what public opinion about him was. It wasn't what he believed in his heart. It wasn't what he was on the inside. It was what was showing on the outside. And that's how the priest, that's what the priest looked at to declare him cured or not cured. Still a leper or cleansed from his leprosy. Now the priest examined his body and what was visible in his flesh told the tale about whether he was cured or not. I'm just going to keep hammering that. Don't tell me it's what's on the inside that matters. Don't tell me that it don't matter what you look like on the outside. Don't tell me that it don't matter what you do to your body, how you dress your body, what you put in your body, how you carry your body. Don't tell me your body don't matter. It absolutely does matter. There ain't going to be no cleansing of no leper if this leprosy is still showing all over his body. If his outward appearance still shows it, he's still got it in his heart. It's coming from the inside out, and it's still there. The priest didn't question the leper about how he felt in his heart, or what he believed or didn't believe. There were no questions about what good works he'd done, or how faithful to church he'd been, or if he'd been reading his Bible and having his devotions, and if he's going to youth camp this year, or if he'd been to any good meetings lately, or if he knew so-and-so, brother so-and-so, if he knew any, nothing like that. Nope. Those things don't cure leprosy. The only question is the leprosy gone? That's the only question at hand for the priest. And that's the only question that anybody else has got. All the people in the camp, everybody that's all of his family, anybody that knows anything about him, that's the only question they want answered. Is he still a leper? Or is it gone? Man, it just don't get no plainer than that. It don't get no more straightforward than that. It don't get no easier than that to understand. People can do all those things and still be a leper. They can still go to church. They can still go to they can be involved. They can do everything that a non-leper does. They can do it and still have the leprosy. So if a leper is cured from his leprosy, it'll be visible in his body, as well as the words that come out of his mouth. It'll be visible. Nobody believes a leper's cured unless he's clean. So therefore, we got all this whole chapter about the cleansing of the leper. Seth talked about this in Sunday school here a few months ago. And it was right along the same lines here as we're going tonight, kind of. But it's the same. That's what the message of this scripture is. Now, once the priest had pronounced the leper clean, the cleansing of the leper begins. That's not the end of it. Just because there was a pronouncement, he's clean. That wasn't the end of the story. That ain't what they talked about for the next 45 years. They didn't go back to that and back to that and back to that, and that's all every church service was about. It was about, boy, I was so rotten and I was so bad. Boy, one day I got cleansed. That ain't what they talked about forever and ever and ever. There's more to it than this. Once he was cured, he began to be cleansed. Cleaned up. Nobody believes that a leper's cured unless he's clean. Nobody. 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 The world don't. The lost people don't. The church people don't. Not really. They don't. They just deceive themselves. They just lie to themselves. They just keep wanting to believe it when they know it ain't true. You watch somebody and they say they get saved and they won't quit their sin and they won't be faithful to church and they didn't have no real change in there. Maybe just cleaned up a little bit. You're saying, well, I don't know. I hope they got something. Well, you might as well just face the fact. They're still a leper. They ain't clean. And you know it. You know it in your heart. Everybody else knows it. The Bible says so. Ain't no doubt about it. Once you're cured of leprosy, you're going to start getting cleaned up. It'll take a little while, but it don't take forever. I mean, there's a set amount of time right here, and he's clean. The priest's going to say, he's clean. And everybody else is going to say, he's clean. We believe it. We have seen it. We can see. That's what this is all about, see? In order to live among the people of God in this sinful world, there must be more than a profession, a confession, or a pronouncement by some religious leader or other person. All these churches like Lutherans and Catholics and all these other, and the Baptists, they just have a proclamation that you're saved, you know. They get you in front of the church and say, some little six-year-old kid or whatever, and they get you up in front of the church and say, now, so-and-so here, he's made his profession of faith, and We're declaring him clean, so we're going to baptize him. That's really what it is. And the leper goes in the water and comes out of the water still a leper. The blood ain't been applied yet. He just got wet. It's got to be more than a profession. Now this leper, just because the priest went outside the camp and went out there to him, looked him over and said, "You're clean." He can't just say, "Woo, hallelujah," and just go marching right back into camp, right out to the tabernacle to the church and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm clean." It just don't work that way. And it didn't work that way then, and it still don't work that way now. They try to make it work that way. They've tried to do it that way, but it ain't working, is it? And it ain't never worked. There's got to be proof that this person is not a leper anymore. That's why the church is so forevermore anemic and weak in the day that we're living in. They let everything in. It used to be something to get into a church and be a member of a church. You just didn't walk in and they just let anybody come and be a member. They had church covenants like that right there. And it was, and back in, you go a little farther back, it was a lot stricter than that right there. And if you didn't keep the covenant with the people, your church family, they put you out of the church. They excluded you. Of course, now that's you're judging. Now that's you're shunning. They use the word. That's an ugly word. You're shunning. And no, you're that's just sinful to shun people. Not if you could see their leprosy. Not if you believe the book, the truth, God's word about the whole matter. But they don't even know. They don't even know. Man alive. You're talking about a pastor didn't even know about Joseph being a type of Christ. If they don't even know stuff like that, how in the world, how much you think they know about the law of God and the cleansing of the leper and all of that? And how it applies to New Testament Christianity? No, they've just skipped all this and they're measuring from a line somebody else drew way out there somewhere. And it ain't nowhere near where it's supposed to be. And they're missing the mark. If he's truly cured of leprosy, everybody must see the proof of it. Now that is sanctification. And it takes time. It takes some time. Even though the priest has pronounced the leper clean, he can't immediately go back to the camp and to his home. There's a definite process that he must go through to be brought back into the fellowship and allowed back in his home in the camp. And this process is not about his cure. He's cured. The priest said so. I mean, you can be saved and know it and know that Jesus has saved you and the Spirit of God has come in. You can know that. But that don't mean you're qualified to be sitting right back in the middle of everything. People do that nowadays and have for years, and the next thing, 2 weeks later, they'll be preaching in a church somewhere. Put them in a Sunday school class. Teach it. You know, stuff like that. No, 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 no. Not a novice. Isn't that what it says? Well, this process isn't about his cure, but it's about his cleansing. Being clean in the eyes of others. Do y'all understand that? That's what this is about. He can't just go from the leper's colony to back in the camp. Just like that. Everybody's going to be saying, you know, this is dangerous. You're going to put us in danger. We got to see. We got to know. Don't look at me like, you ain't right about me. You would do that in your home. You'd do that with your children. You're a fool if you just let anybody have access to your children, your wife, your home. Like there's no danger. There's no trouble. Nothing to worry about. See, be consistent here. You can understand this. You can understand this real plain. They don't want lepers in the camp. You want everybody to die of leprosy? You want everything to be defiled? Your food, your house, everywhere you go, everything you touch? You want your children to get it too? No. We got to know that this person is cured. It ain't that we don't love him. It ain't that we don't want him.
It ain't that we're trying to exclude him just because we don't like him. It's about the good of the whole here. It's about everybody else's welfare and health and well-being. Show us that he's clean and we'll believe it. So God laid out this process for the cleansing of a leper. This is the leper. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. This is how you do it. God said, this is how you do it. And it's going to take these days that it takes to do it. Now the cleansing of the leper is accomplished by two elements, blood and water. The cleansing of the leper is accomplished by blood and water. Y'all listening? First, it was the two birds. And that was done outside the camp. The camp, the priest, they brought him to the priest, but it was outside the camp. They had to send word to the priest. We got a guy here, says the leprosy's gone. Would you come and see him? So the priest comes out of the camp, and they bring the leper to him. And he looks him all over. And if everything's like God gave the instructions about the flesh, and look at this, and this, and this, and the hair, remember that? Hair, in the sores, and in the patches, and the white spots, and all of that hair had something to do with it, knowing whether he had leprosy or not. Oh well, I won't chase that rabbit, but it ain't really a rabbit. But anyway, when the priests look him over and say, he's cured, the leprosy's gone. Then they took two birds. Y'all read this? Did you read any of this? Well, let's read it. Leviticus 14, verse 4 and through 7. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean. Two living birds alive and clean. And cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command the one of the birds, that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. All right, now the leper has already been healed. The verse before, verse 3 says, be healed in the leper. And behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest do all that we just read there. So he's healed. This is not to heal him. He's already healed. This is for his cleansing. Get that? Now, so this is not in any way about bringing about his healing. It's about his cleansing. Now, the elements are two birds, cedar wood, hyssop, an earthen vessel, running water, and blood. Let me read you some New Testament verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Sound like it's related in any way? John chapter 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Who's it talking about? Jesus on the cross. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The new versions of the Bible take this verse out. There are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Water and the blood. Hebrews 9, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people. Now this represented here
What the priest did to the leper with the two birds, it represented a public profession of his faith in the atoning blood of Christ. Now, you understand that. This happens outside the camp. Not everybody gets saved in the church at the altar on Sunday morning. In fact, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that most that really got saved out there somewhere outside the camp. Some priest went to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So this happened out there, the birds and the blood and the water and the cedar wood and the hyssop and the earthen vessel and all of that. It was the priest and the leper. There's just a little something that goes on between you and the Lord. When He pronounces you clean, that nobody else sees or knows about. By submitting himself to this humbling and somewhat humiliating public display, he's given the credit for his healing to God and acknowledging his mercy and grace upon his leprous self. I mean, you need to get the picture here. Think of it. It's that leper, after all he's been through, standing there with blood and water running down his face and all over his clothes and his body. I mean, that priest takes that bird and dip that living bird and dips it in that blood and water of that other bird, and he does this 7 times, not just once. It don't take a lot of blood to look like a big mess. A little bit of blood goes a long ways. 7 times. What does he look like after 7 times of having that bird dipped and slung on him and dipped and slung on him? And then he watches that bird fly away. It's not something you ought to just dismiss as, oh, it's Old Testament stuff. We don't. It ain't got no meaning to us. Oh, yes, it does. Free. That bird went free. Who was that bird? Me! Dripping blood everywhere he went. But it wasn't his blood. It was the blood that was shed for him. Before he can come back into the camp, he's got to wash his clothes and his body with water. And he's got to shave off all his hair. Verse 8. And he that is to be cleansed and shall wash his clothes and shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. All right. After this, he's got to wash himself, wash his clothes because they got blood all over them. It's a mess. Plus, his leprosy that was there. I mean, can you imagine what his clothes? Oh, but he's going to wash them with water and wash his body with water. He's going to shave off all his hair. He's going to come into the camp, but he can't go home. He can't go to where he's going to abide. He can't go to where he's going to live. He's got to abide out where everybody can see him for 7 days. Shaved his hair off. Why? So they can see clearly if there's any leprosy on him. He can't, you know, even though he's healed and cured, he's clean, shaven, and in the camp, he can't go to his own tent for another 7 days. He has to stay out in the open where everybody can see him. That's what they call nowadays transparency. It's proof that he's not hiding anything. And that he's not trying to fool anyone. And he's not being a hypocrite. And he's not pretending. And he's not just putting on a show. This is for real. And he don't care how close you look at him. And he's going to move everything out of the way so you can see whether he has any leprosy or not. This is what God said for him today. This is the law of the cleansing of the leper. That's how it's done. This is how you make people believe it. This is how you establish a testimony that you are really a child of God, and that God has saved your soul, and that He has cured you of the leprosy, and that you ain't got it no more. Can't even say it nowadays. Everybody's a leper now. All of us are lepers. If you say you're not a leper, you're a liar. Way, way off the mark. But it shall be, verse 9, on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off. And he shall wash his clothes again. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Now, he's clean. Why do you have to shave and cut his eyebrows and all that again? Well, now, if you don't shave for 7 days, and you ain't an Indian or something, what are you going to look like? You're going to need to shave. You're going to look like Willie Nelson always looks. I don't know how they do that. How they just stay in that dirty, nasty-looking state. And that one, Zach said, every time he seen him, he just made him want to take a bath and cut it, go shave and take a bath. Couldn't look that way. Had to shave it off again. 7 days. Been here 7 days. Out in the street, I suppose. He had to remain abroad. What does that mean? He had to live out where everybody could see him. He couldn't go in the room, close the door, and stay there. He had to stay where everybody could see him. They're watching. They're watching. You get saved. Say you get saved. You say, I'm saved, and I'm saved from my sin. Everybody's going to be watching you. Don't let them kid you. They don't all believe, well, he's saved as Apostle Paul. Why, he's going to heaven whether he wants to or not. Only fools believe that. Ain't nobody really believes that. It's got a lick of sense. They're watching you to see if you're really clean or not. See if you're going to sneak around and hide, or if you're going to get out and open like you're supposed to where everybody can see. If you really want everybody to know that you're saved, you ain't going to be hiding. And you're going to be clean. You're going to be clean. He shall be clean. He shall be clean. He shall be clean. How many times have we read that already? He shall be clean. That means he was clean. He was clean when the priest said he was clean. He was clean after the bird and all the blood and all that. He was clean. And then after he washed everything, he was clean. Now he's back in the camp, and after 7 days, he washed himself, shaved, and it says he's clean. He's clean, 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 clean. He ain't clean, and then today, and then dirty tomorrow. Clean today, dirty tomorrow. Clean a couple of days, and then he's dirty again. That ain't the way it works. He's clean. He's clean. He's consistently clean. And he's consistently open about it.
Amen.
To other people, not just God. Him and Jesus ain't got their own thing going. He's concerned that everybody else understand. God has really, really saved my soul. I ain't going to live that life anymore. It's gone. He cured me of it. So, he can't come back into the camp all smelly and dirty and haired over. And the hair being removed lets everybody see what he looks like underneath it. His clothes will be clean and fresh, and so he'll not be offensive to the sight and senses of other people. Get that? God don't save you so you can be a wretch. So you can be hateful. So you can go around being mean and hateful to everybody or anybody. God don't save you for that. You're not clean. When you're clean, you're not offensive. Amen.
Amen.
Buddy, that is the truth.
Amen.
If a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
True.
So, one more time, he shaves off all of his hair, even his eyebrows, so that everybody can have full confidence that he's not hiding any blemishes or sores, and that he's really cured of his leprosy. Now remember, they're looking at his body. Remember that? Remember that? You got that? They're not watching him see what's in his heart. No. Nope. They're looking at his body. They're not trying to figure out what's in his heart, because that's impossible for men to do. I have no idea what's in your heart. Neither do you have any idea what's in my heart. We can't see in one another's hearts. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. We don't know if it's good or bad in there. We can't tell. The only way we can tell is what's on the outside. And if the inside of the platter is clean, the outside will be clean too, Jesus said. So that's what they're looking at, because that's all men's got to look at. They're looking at his body. See if that leprosy is going to show up anywhere in his body. And oh man, we got more to go about this. His clothes, his house, the leprosy shows up in that stuff. Boy, I mean, you can go into great detail in the law, can't you? It's not vague and mysterious and dark and the revelation's so vague in it, is it? No, it's just right down to the detail, boy. And anyway, men are only convinced of a pure heart when they see a clean life and someone who's not trying to hide secret faults and sins. Men are not convinced of a pure heart until they see a pure life. You better remember that. That's a fact. The next day, he can go to the tabernacle and make his sacrifices there. See the progression? This is the law of the cleansing. This is the law of the leper and the day of his cleansing. This is how it works. After the seventh day, he does all this. He gives himself a haircut, washes everything again, and then wait till tomorrow. And on the eighth day, verse 10, 11. On the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. Now, if you still remember anything about the offerings, this man, oh my, it just rings. I had the paper, I printed 16 copies of it, and I seen it had cut it off. So I've got it for you, but I still got to work on it some until I can get it to you. It's about the offering, shows you the 5 offerings, what each one stands for. But here they are. The eighth day, that old leper, he can go in the house of God and not make his offerings and his vows to God in front of everybody, just like everybody else. In fact, what happens to him, the oil on the thumb and of his right hand and on his ear and on his big toe of his right foot, it's all the same as what the priest, the consecration of the priest. A leper to a priest. Yeah. And on the eighth day, he'd take all this without blemish, 3/10 of the oil of flour, makes the oil, 1 log of oil, and the priest that maketh him clean. Notice that. Shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things, those offerings, before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now the former leper is now in the tabernacle of God, and makes all his offerings and vows, and is accepted into the beloved, because he is not a leper anymore, and he's clean. Man, that's the gospel. And that's the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is about. That's what it speaks of. And they've quit speaking of it. They've changed it into some other gospel and some other Jesus that don't do all this for you. You're just a leper and you stay a leper. There's no deliverance. There's no freedom. There's no cleansing. We just all be lepers and we're all just have pity on one another. And all the lepers just get together and hug and have a pity party, and it's a support group for lepers. That's what the church is now. Verse 20, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. That's it. He's clean. He's in. Remember that song Brother Monday used to sing? I'm in. Amen. That was the name of the song. I'm in. Amen. Well, that's what the leper was saying in that. When he got to this point. Yes, sir. There's a whole bunch of verses in there between verse 11 and 20. It talks about the process of the offerings and how each one was, you know, and all of that. But it's those same offerings. Sin offering, trespass offering, burnt offering, wave offering. The offerings, the vows. They all went together, always, all the time. You made all these vows. He's proven that he's not a rebel against the law of God. This leper has. He's not rebelled against the law of God. He didn't say, I'm not under that law. I don't have to do that. I'm clean. I don't care if you believe it or not. I don't care if that church don't believe it. Who says you got to go to church anyway? God knows my heart. God knows I'm clean. Drink a beer. Say a cuss word. Yeah. Go ahead. No, the leper didn't do that. The leper was totally submitted. He's proven that he ain't no rebel against the law of God. He ain't said in one time, I don't see why I have to do that. I don't think I need to do that. He ain't said one time about, I don't see what's wrong with this, did I do, or that, did I do. I don't care if I mean, I just got a little bit of scabs on me and a little bit of pus running out of me. Not one time. No, I'm clean. I'm clean. He has proven that he's not a hypocrite, trying to come in like a thief and a robber to kill and destroy. He's proven that he wasn't no hypocrite. He let everybody watch him. Out in the open. Didn't try to hide nothing. He answered all the questions anybody had. And he was honest before everybody. Once he was blind, unclean, outcast, and without hope. Not very long ago. But now he's healed. In body and soul. Cleansed in body and soul. He's healed. He's cleansed in body and soul. You hear me? He's healed in his soul. And he's cleansed in his body. And he's healed in his body. The scripture speaks of the soul of every Gentile leper who's been healed when he reads this. Speaks to the leper. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's pretty nigh when you're at the altar in the tabernacle. And the Holy of Holies is right over there. Yeah, you've drawn nigh. That's nigh. When you were afar off, way out there in the leper colony. The leper who's been cured and cleansed can certainly understand the plea that Peter made in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. Now, if this was talking to a leper, he could understand. If you have been a leper, and you have, or you are, then you ought to understand this. Now, if you've been a leper and you've been healed and cleansed, then you can really get what he's trying to say. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you get what I'm saying to you there? Leper understood that. A leper that gets cured and then gets cleansed and then makes his offerings and sacrifices. You know, all that speaks of Christ, the atonement, the atoning blood. The priest made atonement for him with those offerings. It's the blood of Christ. He understood all that. He confessed that. He embraced that. That became his life and what it was about. He knew he was supposed to live right. He knew he couldn't walk out of that tabernacle that day and just plunge right back into the filth of the world. He's clean. That's the whole thing. The cleansing of the leper. Not the healing. God did that. Men didn't have a thing to do with that. None of these offerings, none of these ceremonies, none of this process has a thing to do with healing the leper. It's about his cleansing. It's about his cleansing and his acceptance and his testimony to the world of what God has done for him. Now, how many's got a testimony that God took away your leprosy? He healed you.
You can't say that.
Well, the Bible says it, so I believe it. Says it in the New Testament, says it in the Old Testament. All the basic teaching, the basic foundational teaching of sin and salvation and the atonement is all the same. Old Testament, New Testament, it's a straight line right through it all. Easily understood. What did Jesus save you from? Hell? No, he saved you from your sin. And he didn't just write you a check to pay it off, and you're clear. It ain't a debt. That ain't what it is. It was going to kill you. And it's going to kill anybody you touched or breathed on. And he took it away. He cured you of it. And then he cleansed you from all the effects of it. And then he put you into God's family. Clean. Clean. Well, are you clean? Amen. Well, stand with me. My, my, my. How many weeks did I sit down and I'd start studying this and it just all turned to mush. I just thought, how am I going to deal with this? And then just all of a sudden, this is what it does. It just like the water all clears up and there it is. Cleansing of the leper. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for you. Wonder what would happen if the missionaries, if the pastors, if the evangelists, if they'd start preaching the gospel again, what would happen? Well, Father, thank you for the word of God. It's wonderful. Thank you. I pray you'd bless it to our hearts. And anybody that hears it, Lord, help them with it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.